From KUAR News in Little Rock, I'm Jacob Kaufman. Democrats around the nation have their eyes on a race in Georgia at the moment. They're hoping to flip the script in the age of Trump, so to speak. Arkansas doesn't look to be so competitive at this point, but if it happens anywhere, it'll probably be in the 2nd District U.S. House seat in Central Arkansas. And we might have an announcement of sorts today. Paul Spencer, a teacher at Catholic High School and frequent presence in Arkansas's activist scene, joins me in the studio. Thanks a lot for your time today, candidate.
Not yet, but thank you very much. All right. I appreciate it.
Incumbent French Hill seems to be sitting fairly safely. You're certainly not a lifelong politician by any stretch, but you do have a lot of experience in activism regarding money in politics, ethics reform come to mind. Why do you feel generally, though, compelled to run at this point in your life?
Well, my primary day job is a high school teacher, and I teach politics and government to high school seniors. And we spend about 9 weeks on the Constitution, and during that time, I talk about representative democracy and our representative form of government. And I tell them simply that it's a system by which a group of people choose another group of people to represent them in Congress. It seems like a very basic type of government, and it works very well. And it's working exceedingly well today, except for the fact that there is a special group of people, generally corporations and corporate people, and the donor class with names like Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, Club for Growth, Wells Fargo, they're the ones that are typically getting the most representation. And of course, you know, the duty of a representative in the House of Representatives is to represent all of their constituents. But what I'm seeing and what I find most troubling is that the actual people of the 2nd District, people with names like Jacob Kaufman, Paul Spencer, and so forth, we don't get near the representation as these special interests and corporate persons. So oftentimes all that's left is a very little bit, and that's what the average Arkansan gets.
You mentioned the banking industry. Current Representative French Hill, former banker, sold his bank. He's in the House Financial Services Committee. It's something he'll really tout when he's running for office, that Dodd-Frank and other regulations put a wet blanket on the economy, is a phrase he uses often. Do you have any particular bones to pick with him about his positions on issues like Dodd-Frank or corporate interests in general?
Well, I've always had difficulty with corporate interests in general, and I've always had difficulty with the tax breaks that these entities get after 2008 and the banking bailout, you know, which is what necessitated Dodd-Frank. And that occurred because of the Glass-Steagall Act being rolled back during the Clinton administration. A lot of the problems that we're experiencing economically in this country today have direct lineage back to these actions. Now, I've known French for quite a while, Representative Hill, and I've asked him about Dodd-Frank, and I don't condemn his answer for it. Of course, he wants to roll that back. I, however, have to go back and say that when President Trump was candidate Trump, he proposed the reinstatement of the Glass-Steagall Act. So that's one issue that I would definitely support if the president were to do that. You know, that's the piece of legislation that came out of the Great Depression of the Roosevelt era that separated the speculators from the savers. And I would support that wholeheartedly and a return to that.
More so than the financial industry, the hot button issue right now is, well, there's many, but one of them happens to be the attempted repeal and replace of the Affordable Care Act. French Hill supported that in various forms during his tenure, the repeal and replace of the Affordable Care Act. What do you think needs to happen with health care? Arkansas is especially susceptible to any changes because we're such a poor state.
Absolutely. Another issue that I like to talk about with my students is the concept of progress. Progress is a situation where things are better today than they were yesterday, and tomorrow holds the promise of being better yet. Prior to the Affordable Care Act, the so-called Obamacare, we had very little. We had tens of millions of people who were entirely uninsured. That step, albeit somewhat of a weak step, that was a step forward, going from very little social safety net to having at least a modicum of social safety net. With the Ryan agenda and the Ryan care or Trump care, however you want to phrase it, I definitely don't want to phrase it as an insurance plan. because it certainly doesn't seem to be that.
23 million people or so would lose their health insurance under the latest Congressional Budget Office.
Absolutely. And they project by 2026, about 9 years from now, that it's going to be 56 million or so, give or take a million. So we started back before the Obama administration, and with Obamacare, we progressed a little bit. Now, with this Ryan agenda package that we've been given that caused a celebration lap around the Rose Garden amongst the House Republican leadership, that's a step in the back. That's a step backwards. That's going in the wrong direction of progress. And the grim specter of 56 million people, you know, almost double the amount that we're going to see lose access to health insurance just right now, is definitely things will not be better tomorrow than they are today.
What's your improvement to the current system then? You're not totally satisfied with Obamacare.
I'm not totally satisfied with any of these proposals. You know, you have to understand that you can make change incrementally, but we also have to understand that, you know, we are losing ground as far as our preventable mortality. We're I think something like 36th in the world with preventable mortality. Our life expectancy is beginning to decline for the first time. And I think that we need to start seeing that healthcare is more than a gimme after big tax cuts have been given to the super wealthy. And well, here's a little bit that's left, and we'll spread this out amongst the rest of America. It's not a gift. It's a human right. In the same way that we have the right to free speech, in the same way that we have a right to shelter and food, healthcare is a right. And we are the only industrialized country in the world that doesn't see it as such. So that being said, one of the things that were I to run and were I to be elected, and if I was given a chance to propose any type of change, would be to back or propose Medicare for all. Economically, it makes sense. You know, a great deal of our healthcare system now, one of the third of the expense comes from the fact that it's how do you bill? We have all these disjointed billing entities that, and that's where the waste comes in. When you have Medicare for all, you give the insured portability. How many people do you know that hang on to their job they're probably underemployed? Another statistic that I'll just throw out there very quickly is, you know, the governor recently said that we have all-time low unemployment in the state of Arkansas, yet we're second poorest state in the union. So that's telling me that everybody's working. We're almost at full employment, but we're underemployed. So if you have the ability to take your insurance with you, that gives the average Arkansan the ability to move and be upwardly mobile. There's savings for the person. There's savings for the small business. I can't remember exactly what the number was, but it cuts the amount that the insurer or the employer of a person would pay by about $6,000 a year. So that's real money for real people. That real money is then spent into an economy as savings. So people who need to fix their dishwasher can call the repair person. People who need to have their car repaired can do that. People who want to buy a used car can do that. That's money that immediately goes into the economy, and that generates tax. When you simply give tax breaks to the super wealthy, that's simply reinvested into their investment portfolio, which enables them to buy politicians that are going to perpetuate a healthcare policy or a tax system that's only going to benefit them. So a lot of these issues are interconnected, but one of my primary areas of passion, I believe, is going to be seeing that all Americans do have healthcare coverage that covers issues like pre-existing conditions. Who doesn't have a pre-existing condition? you're substantially younger than I am. I'm 50 years old, but I don't know what physical ailments are brewing inside of me right now. And, you know, if you, again, look at the population of Arkansas, we're a very poor population. Poverty begets malnourishment, and we do have a spike in things like proclivity towards diabetes and congestive heart failure, which are exceedingly expensive ailments to have. Well, all of those things will be thrown out. And the most obscene part of this whole thing, at least one of the most obscene parts, is that this agenda of Speaker Ryan and President Trump simply passes the buck to the state general assemblies, whether they're going to expand Medicare or not. And I just have to look back at this last legislative session here in the state of Arkansas, and I really don't have high hopes that things are going to progress. Sure. And I think that they will definitely regress.
Just a note for listeners, the last special session of the legislature, they passed some changes to Medicaid expansion that might have 60,000 or so people move off of Medicaid expansion as their form of insurance. Let's switch gears a little bit, though. It seems there's a big question for anyone running as a Democrat is the issue of abortion in Arkansas, so-called Arkansas values is kind of a term that's used as a blanket statement. We talked a little bit earlier, you're unabashedly pro-life. How would you fit yourself within the rest of the Democratic Party, though? Certainly, the National Party is a champion of access to abortion. Do you believe personally that you're opposed to it, but it should be legal to get? Or what's your position on abortion?
I don't believe that there is an instance when one human being can take the life of another human being, whether that instance is through abortion, whether that instance is through the execution of a person that's accused of a crime. I don't believe that creating a economic system that pushes forward the desire to have wars of discretion for economic gain for a few, that's all life to me is sacred, and all of these circumstances are very dire circumstances. I don't believe that, again, that we have the right to pick and choose who lives. I do believe that we already have in Congress, you know, the House just passed a measure that made the Hyde Amendment to a permanent. So, you know, no federal funds can be spent on abortion and things of that nature. So, I feel that my stance on this would be to create an economic system and a healthcare system where people don't become so desperate that they feel the need to have an abortion. I don't know of anybody, I've never met anybody, and I've dealt with a lot of people. I mean, the primary group that I've worked with over my years of activism have been the left. And I've kind of always been the outlier, but I respect those folks for their beliefs, and I think they've respected me for my belief. But I can't believe for a minute that we have people going out for something like a recreational abortion. I just don't think that happens in this country. And abortion is born out of desperation. Desperation is a result of underemployment. It's a result of poverty. It's a result of not knowing where to turn. And it's a result of having legislation at both state and federal levels that just exacerbate that feeling of desperation. I think that as a Roman Catholic and I feel that I'm a very orthodox Roman Catholic and a staunch supporter of life, that is an incumbent upon me to provide compassion. Again, a system, and this sounds trite, but a system that works for all Americans and not just some Americans. And I think that one of the most horrendous things that comes out of the whole abortion issue is the culture wars that we're now engaged in. Nobody wins a culture war. It divides otherwise good people on both sides of an issue, an unwinnable issue, I have to say. And that distracts from some of the bigger issues. And I'm not saying that abortion is a small issue by any stretch of the imagination, but I am saying that if people of good faith on both sides of this issue could come together and see this for what it truly is, you know, we're being divided. And, you know, as a Catholic and as a pro-life Christian, I'm basically told that in order to be a good Christian, I have to vote Republican. And I resent that 100% simply because I don't see the Republican Party as the party of life. I see that as the party of pro-birth, but there's a heck of a lot more to the issue than just forcing somebody to have a child and then forgetting that that child exists after the birth.
Let me give a couple follow-up questions to this just to continue to divide the nation.
Okay, certainly.
Okay, one, you've made it very clear that you believe society needs and the economy needs to be revolutionized in some way to be supportive of people to not have to have this kind of decision. In lieu of that happening, or while it happens simultaneously, would you support efforts to restrict abortion access?
I think that a lot of that has ended up being put on the laps of the state legislatures at this point in time. Would I support a 20-week ban? I would. I think it's a common sense thing, at least for people with my perspective. Now, you know, we get to the issue of defunding Planned Parenthood, and I'm torn on that issue simply because Planned Parenthood does a great deal many things that are beneficial to women's health. And I do not feel justified in reeling back programs for women that are in their most vulnerable of states simply for political gain. So until something that is adequate, if not better, is in place, I'm at a loss to think that I would feel the necessity of defunding Planned Parenthood, which seems to be a pretty big issue.
Sure. All right, here's a one more follow-up on the abortion question. You know, you said that most people get abortions because of financial circumstances, societal pressures, those types of things. Are you suggesting then that there aren't people who are wealthier who get abortions just out of lifestyle choice? They don't want to have a kid. They think it's another step of family planning that's not a special leap. Do you think that those people, are you saying those people don't exist in Arkansas, that wealthier people who get abortions just because they prefer to not have a kid?
No, I'm not saying that those people don't exist. I'm saying that if you look at places in the South like Texas and Arkansas, the lion's share of abortions are occurring out of political necessity. And at some point, people have to make those lifestyle decisions on their own. As a Catholic also, you know, we have the issue of gay marriage. And at some point in time, we have to allow people to make the decisions that they're going to make. And if, you know, a religious philosophy believes that God finds these things distasteful, I'm a firm believer that God can certainly deal with those issues. As Pope Francis recently said, who am I to judge? There are some things that I think that we as human beings, we have what's called useful prerogative over one another. You know, we can hire and fire one another. We can do all sorts of things that affect each other's lives. But I don't believe that we have what we refer to as divine prerogative, the taking of life, the giving of life. And that is for God and God alone. So I'm sure that there are people in the state that choose abortion as a method of family planning or child spacing and so forth. And, you know, as far as I understand my constitutional law to be correct, Roe versus Wade protects those people since 1973. And then you had subsequent Connecticut versus Griswold Supreme Court holdings that will enable these people to continue to do that. I don't believe that there is going to be much of a circumstance where myself, being a potential House member, am going to be able to sway the Supreme Court to overturn 45 years of case law.
Sure.
And abortion will never go away. You can you can criminalize it tomorrow, and there will still be abortion. Abortions have been here since the beginning of recorded history. What we do need to do, and you know, I can't say exactly what the state needs to do or what the federal government needs to do with regards to people who choose abortions for lifestyle enhancement or to space children. I'm not at a liberty to judge those people. I am merely saying that as a person of, you know, being a Roman Catholic and being a person who believes that all life is sacred, that that's something that I can't support. Now, there is case law that does support that.
Just side note for listeners, you told me this the other day that you go to the same church as Friend Shill.
So I do.
Both Catholics on this.
Absolutely.
Okay. Final question, just real quickly, if you could, and you've mentioned this in some of your other answers. Donald Trump won the state by a huge margin, about 60% or so victory, just about in every part of the state. Didn't do as well in Pulaski County or suburban counties. But, you know, if any Democrat is going to win, any person's going to win, they're going to have to draw over Trump voters in some way. Do you feel like you can appeal to the sentiment that they expressed in November, or how do you win them over?
Well, I think once people realize what I stand for, they see that I'm not an elitist. I'm one of them. I'm a small farmer. I'm a small business owner. I work a day job. I'm not a career politician. I have problems with both political parties. And I, you know, if you look at some of the numbers that came out of the second district, particularly with Pulaski County in the last second district election, a lot of voters that normally would have voted for the Democratic candidate jumped over to the French Hill side. And I think merely winning those people back over into on the Democratic column is very important. I think we need to speak to a lot of folks in Pulaski County in general who are typically left out of the electoral process. But as far as appealing to the Trump voters, I'm pretty certain that once people examine me, there'll be people who dislike me, but there'll be people who just see me as another sincere Arkansan who wants substantive change and that no longer wants to be the second to the last state in the union and everything, the butt of every joke, and that we need to move forward as a people.
All right, Paul Spencer, thanks for your time today. I guess prospective voters got to first listen to you today, many of them for the first time, and I expect we'll be hearing a lot more from you over the coming weeks and months. Do you plan to be teaching next fall, or are you taking off to campaign?
I will be teaching next fall.
All right. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you, Jacob, for having me.